The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Project Independence and You right here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on the radio dial. If you still have a radio dial, it's the thing that turns and it moves that little thing that goes to the different numbers on your radio. Are you guys familiar with that here?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's an engineer, so she better be. So today's show is going to be great. First, I'll introduce myself. I am Rebecca Miller. I am guest hosting today, Project Independence in You, and it's always fun to be here. I am also the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Services for the Aging, Project Independence, and Project Independence in You is one of the programs that we have at Department of Services for the Aging. Christina Liu has been the radio show producer of this program since inception. So every week, she brings all these different wonderful guests to speak on topics really pertinent to seniors aging in place. So she works really hard and has been doing it for 8 years. And it makes everything, like I always say, makes our job so easy. She just hands me this paper that is probably like 20 hours worth of work, and I have everybody's name. I know what they do. I know what questions to ask, and everything goes smooth. So the co-host today is Dr. Marlene Levy. Dr. Marlene Levy, it's so great to have you. I think we have been on the radio show before.
Absolutely, and you are a fantastic host. Absolutely. Oh. I love working with you. You're really super.
Thank you. You are my favorite co-host now. Mwah, you've just moved up to that. I don't tell Otto, but you know,
I don't know. No, I won't.
But as you know, Dr. Levy has actually kind of coordinated, I'm assuming, with Christina for the guests today. And our first guest who is here is Dr. Diana Calasano. And you have a lot of initials after your name, so I'm just going to go by them really fast. We've got an AUDCC-AF-AAA. And currently you are with the Hearing and Tinnitus Center. So yes. We're going to talk about, I'd like to talk about the tinnitus and the tinnitus. Some people pronounce it different ways. So I know we were going to talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
And that's located in Woodbury. And we'll be talking all about tinnitus today and some things people can do and what it is and its hearing loss. Like, it's very confusing for most people.
Sure,
not
sure.
Not really knowing. Our next guest will be Jerry Simons. And he is a PA at the Morrison Center, which is in Manhattan. And we're going to be talking about Lyme disease. And I know that this hits home for a lot of people. And there's a lot of ailments and, you know, it's really a difficult disease to deal with. So we'll be talking a lot about that. And then, of course, old-time radio, the saint, the missing bridegroom. I don't know. What do you think about that one? The missing bridegroom.
Not at this table. I know.
It's so exciting. We'll have to wait for Talk of the Town for that one. It's a long story. And then finally at 11:30 is Talk of the Town with Christina Liu, who earlier we were talking about. She's the radio show producer, and she is also the Senior Citizen Program Development Specialist for the Town of North Hempstead's Department of Services for the Aging, where she really is the producer of that department as well. I mean, she's just the core and all that good stuff. So, and I'm not just saying that because she's sitting right here next to me. So, Dr. Calasano, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Ness, oh, you're so welcome. So, let's get right down to it. Tinnitus or tinnitus?
So, yes, and it has been pronounced, you know, both ways. The American Tinnitus Association takes on the previous form. I say tinnitus. The only reason I don't say tinnitus is because itis in any other ailment typically refers to inflammation or pathology, and tinnitus really is not that. Tinnitus... at its fundamental is really a symptom of hearing loss or some changes that are happening in the inner ear. And so, you know, when patients come to us, they are asking the same question, is it tinnitus, is it tinnitus, and really what is it? When you look at, there are a lot of different models out there, neurophysiologic models, but when you think about and read into the literature, it's really about changes that are happening in the mm-hmm. ear, and the ear is always, like every other part in our body, is always in a state of homeostasis until it's not. And when it's not, oftentimes tinnitus can result. So it's not so much the changes in the ear, but when the tinnitus ascends to a conscious level of awareness where you actually can recognize it, and you notice it, and you can focus on it, that's when it becomes problematic.
Right.
So it's really interesting, because if you think about tinnitus, they'll oftentimes say in the literature, it's not so much the presence of the tinnitus itself that's bothersome, it's the reaction that makes it important. And that's why a lot of people have difficulty with their tinnitus, because it is impactful in a way that interrupts their concentration, perhaps sleep, really just overall quality of life.
Right. It really does. So where... It's almost like a mystery about it, because
sure.
if you do research online, you know, you're like, that's the first thing I think people do today is, what is all this ringing?
Of course.
And then they kind of, you know, self-diagnose, and you look it up, and the first thing you see is there's no cure.
Right, right.
And that's kind of scary to think, okay, how, because I have it, and I started about, I would say, 3 or 4 years ago, my mother had it. So I was kind of familiar with the symptoms. And I remember the first time it happened, it was really scary. It was frightening. It was very, very loud. And then it kind of went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of slowly progressed to pretty much it's there all the time. Sometimes it's worse. And I just, you know, kind of don't think about it anymore. But
you've habituated.
Yeah.
You've habituated to it.
Right, right. And so, you know, I was reading up about that too. But it's just, it's curious to me what is happening to the ear. Like, I can understand how it starts, but what is actually happening in the ear that makes that sound occur?
Well, there's a lot of different theories on that.
Right.
But first and foremost, it's usually changes to the hair cells in the inner ear. So not like hair on our head, but there are actual physical cells in the inner ear mm-hmm. that are responsible for transmitting sound through the auditory nerve up to the brain. And so the line of thinking is that those cells start to change. They either kind of bend over and can't do their job optimally, or they shrivel up completely. And once they shrivel up, there's no way for us to regenerate those hair cells. And hair cell damage occurs from many different things. Mm-hmm. Predominantly, it's just a function of aging. It could also be a function of noise exposure. So for everybody who attends concerts, I know we were talking about this before,
right,
the importance of hearing protection and really being mindful about loud activities. And it's not exclusive to just concerts these days. It's group fitness classes that
yeah.
are so super loud. I cannot stress that enough, especially spin classes.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of loud activities that we partake in. And from a very early age now, kids are putting in headphones much
right.
sooner than even in my generation. So I think the knowledge and the education about noise exposure is really important, because hearing loss is oftentimes a result of noise exposure. But in addition to that, it's a function of ototoxic medications, which are a set of medications, specifically chemotherapy drugs and or aminoglycosides, which are very potent antibiotics that can damage the inner ear. And also just, you know, there are viruses that can settle in the ear and shrink those hair cells. So what happens is, you know, you have this state of homeostasis, and now the hair cells change, and that homeostasis becomes disrupted. So what they've really suspected in the literature is there is this kind of discharge of energy up to the brain, and the
mm-hmm.
brain makes a decision subconsciously about paying attention to that sound. Now, there are a lot of sounds in our environments that we hear, but we don't actually pay attention to. For example, the ventilation system in this room.
Right.
Right? So you probably sit in this room and everybody's hearing it, but you don't really focus on it because it's not important. The tinnitus becomes important because it's impactful and it's disruptive. So it's automatically a sound that you become attuned to and you hyper-focus on.
Right.
And that's why tinnitus is disruptive.
I have a question for you. As a chronic Lyme sufferer, as you know, because you take care of me. And when I first got it on June 24th, 2015, the tinnitus was an alert, another alert with, amongst all the other symptoms.
Sure.
And the tinnitus was a very loud chalk sound on a board 24/7 for a good year or so. Having that type of sound impacted me in every single way, because you have neurological Lyme disease,
of
as
course.
I had, you know, musculoskeletal. Through the years, this is my fourth year, and now I just have the sound of 24/7 as an alien hiss, constant, 24/7. But I no longer need the hearing aids, hearing aids that you provided me, which was the only aid that really helped me sleep,
right.
To match the sound of the tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer need that. But as my Lyme disease and as the ototoxic drugs that I had to take to help the Lyme disease that exacerbated the tinnitus, I have it now to a much lesser degree.
Right.
What happens, and have you seen, or because there's no cure for this, no cure for tinnitus, no cure for Lyme, but I'm seeing that the tinnitus has subsided.
Right.
And it's a different sound. It's the Lyme disease sound, like an alien ship in your ear.
And tinnitus can take on many different types of sounds, and it manifests so differently for every person. Mm-hmm. So I think that to me is a really interesting component of tinnitus, is for you it could sound like an alien or initially sound like chalk on a chalkboard. I do have tinnitus in my right ear. It's very low, but it sounds like a seashell, like if you take a shell and hold it up to your ear. I have that in my right ear. For you, it could be a pure tone ringing sound. So to me, that's so interesting that it manifests so differently.
Right.
I've had people tell me that it sounds like cicadas, like Morse code, a buzzing, a hissing like you would hear from a radiator. So it really comes out in many different ways. But in regards to, you know, your question with the Lyme disease, it's probably more than likely as the Lyme's was treated and as you were healing from that ailment, your tinnitus followed suit. And in addition to that, you know, the body expresses stress in different ways. So to me, when the body is under attack from whatever it may be, it may also be that, you know, the tinnitus is kind of coinciding with mm-hmm. that. So for you, I think that as things progressed and also as you were starting to feel better, the tinnitus was less impactful. And that's why it's really interesting with tinnitus, because, you know, when you're under stress, oftentimes people will say, my tinnitus sounds much louder.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm more stressed, if I'm anxious, if I've, you know, I've gotten less sleep,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not sleeping as well.
Right.
Because that, all of those things play into the emotional brain, the limbic system, the autonomic nervous system.
Could you help the audience and help the seniors know that there are so many different apparatus and ways of helping them, that they, when it impacts your sleep, which you need for healing, and as you get older, you must sleep.
We do our best work when we sleep.
You know what? We have about a minute left to this segment, and then we'll come back. I mean, we talked a lot about why it happens physiologically, you know, that it comes along with other diseases sometimes. And then now that we kind of have a better understanding of what it is, let's maybe dedicate the second part to how, what we can do to lessen it, to get rid of it, what's out there. You know, there are a lot of people. We talked a little bit about yoga before.
Yes, yep.
So we're going to be back in about a minute or two speaking with Dr. Colasano about tinnitus, and we'll be right back.